Bibles with us tonight into Romans chapter number 13, Romans chapter number 13. And we've been thinking, God began to dealing with my heart about how dark this world has become and how horrible it is. And we got to thinking about Sunday school lesson this morning, and I said, man, there's a message right there just in dark, and I'm going to actually pull some of my notes for Sunday school, and we'll probably refer to them here in a few places that God has spoke with us. But, you know, keep folks in our church in prayer. We still got folks that are recovering, and Jack's still trying to get over his knee surgery. Tom's still getting over his vascular surgery. We got, you know, I remembered some that were away this morning, but my lands, we got so many people away, it's unreal. So many families. We got Adam and Pam, Paula and Gary are out in the Grand Canyon. The last I seen a few minutes ago for church, they were at the Grand Canyon exploring that, and I can just see them like old, what's his name on vacation, you know. That's about what you're going to be on a whirlwind trip, you know, standing at the edge and just get back in the car and leave. Yeah, we've seen it. And but they're all out there. Then Tammy and Michael and their family been in New York City. And Steve and Sherry went down to New River Gorge and were down in God's part of the world in West Virginia and in the mountains. And it's beautiful. And they've been down there. Then Brian and Angie are in Texas, and Melissa are in Texas. Man, you know, that's about half the church is away, it seems like. Amen. So just pray for traveling mercies for everybody, and just pray that God gets them all back home safe. Amen. And that they all have a blessed time wherever they're at, whatever they're doing. And we just want to honor him. We had a great time today, Brother RJ. Amen. I love to hear that young man preach. Amen. I remembered why I loved him so much when I heard him this morning. Amen. That young man can flat preach. And I'll tell you, several of them young Filipino preachers that have come to visit with his brother. Archetta was here with us not too long ago. He just happened to stop by, and we give him an opportunity to teach and to preach. And man, I tell you what, he just blessed our heart. Amen. I give him some time in the Sunday school, and he was such a blessing. I said, just go ahead and preach the morning service too. And he flat laid it down. He's just a blessing to our heart. And just to see what God has done in the work with RJ and Shaman there in Ballywag where they are, and just to see the souls that, you know, they've already filled their house up. They've already, you know, filled their front porch and their front yard up, and they're needing property. They're needing to build a church, and you know, they're growing. They're doing what missionaries are supposed to be doing. They're doing what a New Testament church is supposed to be doing. And not only that, they've already taken on missionaries as a church. Amen. So they're a mission work that's already taken on missionaries and supporting missions in and of themselves. So we just praise God. I tell you, we just had a good time with them, had a good time of fellowshipping, had lunch with them over at Brother Jim and Sister Mary's, and just thank them for the great hospitality and the wonderful time that we had. But I tell you what, pray for our missionaries, amen? And just pray that God would just use each one of them to his glory and his honor in some way. If you found Romans 13, stand with us tonight. We want to read a few verses at the end of the chapter, and verses that are pertinent and prevalent in today's world. In verse number 11, the Bible says, "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." Brother Jim, would you take us to the throne of grace? Amen. You may be seated. And I'm sorry tonight that you have to put up with me. When on the way to church, my wife says, "Well, Hey, who's going to be there tonight? I said, just mean nobody special? I said, no, just me. Hey, man, so I'm nobody special, but, you know, y'all make me feel that way at times, and I thank you for everything you do. But we just come tonight to share the Word of God and what God has laid on our heart. And, you know, we're looking at the world situation. We're looking at the condition that things is in. And, you know, people really aren't grasping the severity of what's happening in America right now. They aren't grasping how quickly America is slipping downhill and has fallen away. The progressive agenda is to destroy Christianity, to destroy America the way that we understand it and know it. And I'm not preaching a political message. I'm just talking from factual truths, amen, and to change it into a socialist entity in the socialist state. And to do that, one important thing has to happen. Anytime socialism has taken over, they have had to diminish the power of the church. They have had to diminish the power of Christianity and Christ-like thinking in our in the lives of the people that they have done it to. And if we go back and people say, well, that's not a fair comparison, but it is. If you take and you go back and you look at Adolf Hitler and you look at his agenda and the way that he promoted it, and people say, well, that was Nazism. Well, the Nazis were socialists. It was the nationalist socialist Nazi, whatever it was. But they were socialist. And one of the first things they had to do was to try to diminish the power of the church. And he began to do so by silencing preachers. He began to do so by imprisoning preachers. He began to do so by making people more dependent upon the state and looking to the state instead of to God as the benefactor, and to the state instead of to God as the provider and the one who is meeting the provisions. And we see that happening in America today, an exact parallel. Hitler took control of the media. The media became a propaganda machine for Adolf Hitler. We see the media in America today and how it is used and how it promotes a socialist agenda. And anything that doesn't fall into that socialist agenda is considered contrary to the goals of that organization. And they will go to any steps and any lengths that they can to silence that. Now, if you think I'm crazy and if you think I'm just spinning all this, go check your history. Amen? Go look it up. Whether it was communism in Russia, when Lenin came back into Russia out of exile, when Lenin set up the communist machine. The only difference between communism and socialism is one attains what they do by force, which is communism, and socialism obtains what they do by coercion. Amen? But they both have the same end and the same means and the same focus. And we see that when Lenin came in, the first thing they had to destroy was religion, people's dependence and people's reliance upon God, people's answering to God and having a moral state. You know, it's not hard to kill babies when you remove the moral stigma of murder and the moral stigma of abortion in people's lives. And that's just what socialism and that's what communism attempts to do. It takes away the moral authority that God had placed upon this world and God had placed upon mankind. And we see that happening. We see these things transitioning in our nation, and it's happened so subtly, and it's happened so methodically over the course of time, and it's not just one party that has done it. The political system has allowed it to slip in, and the progressives now aren't afraid to step out and to be bold about what they've done, because it's come so far that they can stand up, and there's not anyone hardly to oppose them. There's not hardly anyone that'll speak against them. And we see the course of our nation Taking a downturn. We look about the world and we see the events on the world stage and we realize that our redemption draweth nigh. I believe that. Amen. I believe the Lord is coming soon. I believe the Lord is imminent in His appearing. John, as Brother RJ said this morning over in 1 John chapter 3, I believe it was, he said, now is the end times and it's the time to begin looking to God. And you know, he said that 2,000 years ago. Hey man, if he said it 2,000 years ago, think about how much closer and how much more imminent it is in today's world. Amen. And we need to be aware of these things. Young people just push it off. Well, hey, we got all the time in the world. You don't. You don't. Moms and dads, we just push things off. We got all the time in the world. We don't. We don't, amen. Grandmas and grandpas sit around, well, I've done my time and it's time for somebody else to pick up the reins. No, it ain't. It's time for you to keep on keeping on, amen, until he calls you home or the rapture takes place. And Paul, as he's writing here in Romans, he gives us four things in these four verses that we need to take into consideration in the day and the time in which we live. In verse number 11, he says, it's time to wake up, and that knowing the time, and that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Friends, America is sleeping. Amen. America has been asleep, but even more dangerous and more perilous and more troubling than that. Friends, the church has gone to sleep. The church has been slumbering while Satan has been warring. The church has been slumbering while the devil is having a heyday. Christians take the Christian walk. They take the Christian life. They take the responsibility to attendance upon the house of God for granted and take it so lightly. It doesn't hold the importance in their life that it should have. It don't hold the importance in people's lives that it held when we were kids. And when we were kids, it don't seem like it held the importance in people's lives as it did in our parents' lives when they were young and when they were kids. But I want you to know something. It's time for Christians to wake up. It's time for the church to wake up. Paul says, now is our salvation nearer than when we first believe. Friend, I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight. I know I'm preaching to those who already are aware of this tonight. But friend, we need to get the message out. We need to get the word out. We need to stay faithful. We need to stay awake. God has appointed us a watchman. God has appointed us a responsibility to warn others and to tell them about the dangers of hell and the dangers that is coming in the rapture and the tribulation for those that don't know Christ as their Savior. Amen. He said, it's time to awake. Amen. And I tell you what, it's time for the church to wake up. It's time for the church to find its voice. Amen. The world's listened to enough snoring. The world's listened to enough put me to sleep sermons and messages from preachers that are educated but don't have the power of God. Amen. It's time for America and the church in America to seek out those who are God called and those who are God sent and those who are God ordained to preach and to proclaim the truth and to shout aloud and to cry it out. The world has heard enough of a slumbering church, and church, it's time for the church to wake up.
Amen.
Amen. It's time for us to quit mealy-mouthing around about who we are.
Yes.
It's time to wake up. It's time when your rights as a Christian in America are assaulted and affronted, that you're not afraid to stand up and say so. It's time, and you know, all kinds of things about, oh, well, I'm not saying happy holidays. I say happy holidays. Because I'm not talking about Christmas. I'm talking about the holidays. You know, I see things on the internet and on Facebook. Well, I'm not saying happy holidays. I'm saying Merry Christmas. Well, you know, it's going to sound kind of ignorant telling somebody Merry Christmas and Happy Thanksgiving. Amen. You're going to feel kind of stupid telling somebody Merry Christmas at New Year's. Amen. We're talking about a holiday period, but praise God, Christmas is still Christmas, and Christ is still in Christmas, and I ain't afraid to keep Christ in Christmas. Amen. Now, I worked in a place where you had to kind of watch how you approach things, but now somebody approached me. Amen. The door was wide open. I know Sister Sherry works in an environment like that, and I can share, but you know, some of the things that they have, they indoctrinate them on all the different religions and how to treat and how to adjust the people. Well, that's all well and good. I want to be cordial. I don't want to go in. It's not my job to bash Muslims. It's my job to tell Muslims about Jesus. Amen. Amen. It's my job to do what the Durst family's doing in Albania, what the Haynes family's doing in Kurdistan, what Yinko Fasinro is doing in northern Nigeria, going into the places where Muslims live and telling them boldly about Jesus, the one who died for their sins. It's time for the church to wake up and quit being ashamed of being a Christian, amen? Quit being mealy-mouthed about what we're doing and proclaim Christ and him crucified. Amen. In Ephesians chapter number 5, verse 14 down to 21, it says, "Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." What's the Lord's will? Not the Lord's will that any should perish. He wants all to come to repentance. He wants to see the world saved. Amen. "And be not drunk with wine wherein is an excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for the things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." Ephesians 5, 14 to 21. "Awake and redeem the time." Awake and take advantage of the time that we have, because the days are evil. Amen. It's important, church. It's important, church, that the church wake up and proclaim truth. Amen. But then look at what he says in verse number 12. He says, we need to wake up in verse number 11. But he said, it's time to dress up. Amen. It's time to dress up. It's time to quit looking like everybody else. It's time to quit being like everybody else. It's time to quit trying to fit into someone else's mold, but to fit into God's mold. Look what he says in verse number 12. "The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." Amen. I tell you what, church, it's not only time to wake up, but it's time to dress up. He said it's time to put on the armor of light, to cast off the darkness, and to put on light. He tells us we need to quit walking in darkness and to walk in the light. He tells us there's a distinct difference between what we do in the night and what's done in the day. He tells us that we need to start looking like people who are walking in the light. You know what the light does? And this is part of our Sunday school lesson for next Sunday. Amen. I thought we might get into it today, but we didn't. Some things you'll notice about light. The darker that it is, praise God, the brighter the light shines. Amen. I can go out here in the daytime and I can light a match. And I can hold that match up and you probably would be hard-pressed to see that there was any light coming off of that match. But I can take you to some place where you experience TD. Who knows what TD is? Total darkness. And you strike that match and it will almost blind you for its brightness. Amen. The darker that it is, the brighter that the light shines. Amen. And isn't it good to know that in a world that's filled with darkness and in a world that is full of the evil that comes with the prince and the power of darkness, that praise God, we can put on the armor of light and we can shine forth in a lost and a dying world, and people can look at you and say, I know you and I know who you are because I see the way that you're dressed. You have on that armor of light. Hey, man. Look at these things about light. The nearer you are to light, the brighter it is. In 1 John chapter number 1 and verse number 5, he says, God is light, and in him is light. No darkness. Amen. The closer that you get to him, amen, the nearer that you get to him, praise God, the brighter he's going to shine in your life. Amen. Moses got to see him face to face. Moses got to be right in his presence, right down where he was. Moses got to deal with him like no one else got to deal with him. And praise God, when Moses got done dealing with him and he never got to see him face to face, they had to put a veil on him because he shone so brightly. Praise God. Let me tell you something, church. If you'll get close to God, amen, it'll happen. Have an effect upon you. Amen. Amen. It'll make a difference in you. The closer that you get to light, the brighter that the light is. The brighter the light is, the more revealing that it becomes. Amen. Now, I'm one. Whenever I was looking up numbers, we always crawling on equipment and trying to get numbers off of equipment, and guys would go out there and they would guess at numbers, and they'd come back half the time, they'd have something wrong on the number. Whenever I go, I don't care if it's broad daylight out, if it's broad daylight and I'm trying to find a serial number, a model number, or something on a piece of old, nasty, dirty equipment, you got to climb up in an engine cover or something to find, or crawl up underneath of it and try to wipe something off and get it down. You know what I take with me? A flashlight. Amen. I want to shine it as bright as I can. I only want to go there one time. Amen. I only want to have to make that journey one time, stick my head in some old dirty, nasty engine cover that's got oil and dust all in it, and it's all in your hair because you can't get a hard hat up in there and everything else, and you're all contorted up in there trying to get a number off something. I want to make sure I get it right. I want it to be revealed as clearly as possible. And it might be daylight outside, and them guys, their eyes might be able to see it, mine can't. Amen? But I know this to be true. That the brighter the light, the more that it reveals. Amen. What's that got to do with me? Put on that armor of light. The more that light shines, the brighter that light shines in your life, the more that is revealed about Christ in your life to those that are around about you. Amen. Light can be dimmed. Light can be reflected. Light can be dulled, but light cannot be bent. Did you catch that? You shine light through a prism, it exits at a right angle. Amen. But it's not bent, it's straight. Amen. You shine light off of a mirror. You shine a laser light off of a mirror. It will reflect off of that mirror and it will shoot forth. But that light is not bent. Amen. Light can be dulled. It can be dimmed. It can be reflected. It can be directed, but it cannot be bent. Amen. They can change the word of God to say what they want it to say, but it doesn't change the truth of the word of God. The devil twisted it and bent it. Amen. And used it for his purposes. But he couldn't change the truth of it. He tempted Jesus with the word of God. Amen. But Jesus had to straighten him back out. Amen. Christian, our testimony can dull the word. We can dim the word, but we can't change the word. The word is still true, irregardless of what we do, and irregardless of what we think, and irregardless of what we feel. Amen? Amen? So let's be sure that we put on this armor of light and we keep it clean and we keep it pure. We keep it able to do what it was intended for it to do when we put it on. The light can be redirected a bit, but it can't be bent. Light can't be made to wiggle like a snake. Not true light. Amen? But listen at this. Light reflects best from a clean and clear surface. Amen. And light will reveal uncleanness. If I'm going to put on the armor of light, amen, and I'm going to clothe myself with the armor of light, I'm going to clothe myself with the name of Christ, it's incumbent upon me to keep that armor clean. Amen. So that armor might be able to reflect more clearly and more definitively the message that God wants reflected. You know, most people that hear the gospel or find the gospel or come to terms with the gospel never do it by reading the word of God. They do it by watching people's lives. Amen. And if you're going to be an ambassador for Christ, you're going to be representative of Him. You're going to wear His garments, His armor, and be a witness unto Him, it's incumbent upon you to keep that armor clean. Amen. So that it can best reflect the light. Put on the armor of light. Do you know light does not cast, cannot create a shadow? We cause the shadow. But light, you can strike a match and hold a light in front of it and hold it up against the wall, you'll see the matchstick. You'll see your hand. But light does not cast a shadow. Even though you can tangibly see it between you and the wall, light can't cast a shadow. Objects and things create shadows. When you are walking toward the light, the darkness is behind you. Amen. If you're going to put on the armor of light, then you should strive to walk toward the light. Amen. Because that way the darkness is behind you. But when you walk away from the light, you walk into a darkness of your own making and your own desire. Man, I love studying my Sunday school lessons sometimes. I got studying on this and studying on that. I said, man, this is good. Amen. Things that you just think about and things that God reveals to you. The shadow that you walk into is one of your own making. When you walk away from the light, doesn't mean that we don't walk in dark places. Sometimes we pass by dark places. But our goal should be to walk toward the light so that that light might reflect from us. That light might reveal to the world what the world seems to be missing. And we'll stop right there. 13, he said, it's time to clean up. Amen. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and in envying. Let us walk honestly as in the day, because the things of darkness, the things of evil take place in the darkness and in the night. He said, they that are drunk and they that revel in the things do it in the night. Amen. Let us walk in the day. Let us walk in the light and let us live our lives not with the things of the world, not with the things of evil, not with the things of perverseness, but let us clean ourselves up and separate ourselves. What fellowship hath the house of God with ungodliness? What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? It's time, church, that the church cleans up, and it's time for judgment to begin, like the Bible says, in the house of God.
Amen.
Amen. How do you expect the world to get cleaned up when Christians want to dabble in everything?
Right.
Amen. Christians want to dabble in everything that the world has to offer. If the world is doing it, the Christian tries to find a way to get involved in it. Amen. They try to find a way to justify it. They try to find a way to make it right. The Bible says it's time for us to get cleaned up. Amen. Separated. Cleaned up, different. Cleaned up, peculiar. When everybody else is looking like a slob, amen, we look like a child of God. When everyone else is acting like a heathen, praise God, we're acting like a child of God. When everybody else is doing the things of darkness and the things of evil, praise God, we're found doing the things of God. When everybody else says God is dead, we proclaim He's alive. When they tell us we're crazy, we tell them that might be so. I know I'm peculiar because I'm a child of God. When they ask me how I know, I can tell them He lives in my heart. Amen. And He's visited me and He speaks to me. He walks with me. And He's there for me every time I've called upon Him. And I know He's there. And you know what I found? When I let some dirt slip into my life, I find He's not as close. I find He's not there like He used to be. But praise God, when I go to Him and when I get things cleaned up and straightened up, amen, I find out that fellowship is so much sweeter.
Amen.
Amen. Because there's no dirt between us. There's nothing to hinder. Over in 1 Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul wrote into the church in chapter 5. He says, but of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. Praise God, we know what time it is. Amen. We know we're in the last days. We know we're in the end times. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are the children of light, and the children of the day. Ye are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. And they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. Paul said, look, we're not of that bunch. We're not of that crowd. We're not of that genre. We shouldn't look like them. Our lives should be separated. Our lives should be cleaned up. Our lives should attest to something greater that's in us than what is in this world.
Amen.
Amen. He said, it's time to wake up. It's time to dress up. It's time to clean up. And it's time to step up. Verse number 14. He says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You stop right there. That's a whole lot. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. What's he mean by that? It means let Jesus be exhibited in everything about you. Let the world see Jesus. You know, Halloween's around the corner here just a few days away, and people are going to dress up or make themselves up, and they're going to try to look like something else. Praise God, the child of God should try in every way and in every way possible to mirror Jesus Christ in their lives. He said, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. It's time to step up and quit making provisions. Quit making excuses. We make excuses for our kids. We make excuses for our parents. We make excuses for our family and our friends. And we'll look at others and look at somebody else's family, somebody else's kids, and say, man, look at that bunch. They live like hell over there. You know they can't be saved. And you know their lives ain't right. And their lives ain't this and their lives ain't that. And your little darling does the same thing. Well, but I know they're saved. I know they're all right. I got news for you. Those that keep doing sin and the works of sin and the works of darkness unrepentantly are sinners. I don't care whose kid they are. Amen. I don't care what their name is. Sinners are sinners. Amen. It's time to step up and make no provision. Oh, it makes us feel better. Amen. It makes us feel better. As Christians, say, well, I know they made a profession of faith. We want that hope. Amen. But do we do it out of really knowing that they're saved or just trying to blind ourselves and hope that they're saved? Amen. Do we make excuses for ourselves? Well, you know, I can't get to church. I can't do this. And there are some people that can't. I know there's some jobs, nurses got schedules that they keep. I know sometimes Sister Sherry, she'll tell me, I can't be there tonight. I got to work. And she's not here. I understand that. There's some jobs that require it. But some people use it as an excuse not to come to church. They throw the ox in the ditch.
Yes.
Amen. Jesus had to rebuke the Pharisees because his disciples, the things that they did and the things that he was doing. And he said, you know, if you got an ox and it falls in the ditch on the Sabbath, you're going to go get the ox out.
Yes.
Amen. But some folks throw the ox in the ditch.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Yes.
So they can spend their time getting the ox out of the ditch.
Yes.
Amen. Or some people worry about getting the ox out of the ditch on Sunday at church time when you can get the ox out of the ditch on Sunday after church.
Amen.
Amen. It might not be convenient, but praise God, you'll get him out of the ditch.
Amen.
Amen. Sometimes we make provision for the flesh. Sometimes we say, well, I deserve a time away. I deserve this, and I deserve that, and I deserve... You know what you deserve? You deserve to be in hell with your back broke. I don't know. I heard somebody say that one time. You need to be in hell with your back broke. I don't know what difference if your back broke and you're in hell. Hell's hell. You know what I mean? But that's what you deserve. You know, well, I deserve some time. I deserve this, and I deserve that. And well, Christ didn't deserve to go to Calvary.
That's right. Amen.
But he did.
Mm-hmm.
Christ suffered and died. We make provision for the flesh. We make provision for the things that we want to do when we want to do them. We make excuses for why we do them. But friends, it's time to step up and quit making excuses. It's time to step up and quit putting obstacles in the way of our service to Christ. I've argued with business people that have opened on Sundays. They said, well, you go to the restaurant, you go here. I said, yeah, we're guilty. We're guilty of it. Amen. We make provision. Amen. We all make provisions for things in our own ways. And making provisions for the flesh, we have soiled the armor of light that God has clothed us with. And the world no longer looks at Christians, no longer looks at church and sees the bright light that could shine forth. Because we spent too much time making provision for everything else but Christ. Now, this isn't Dennis preaching. This is what the Word of God says. I'm just trying to help you to understand. It's all right. Well, yeah, I know them. Hey, they lay out of church because they do this and they do that. I know that's who he's talking about. No, I'm talking about you. It's not just laying out of church. It's your prayer life. We make provisions for the flesh and don't spend the time in prayer that we need to. It's Bible study. It amazes me how many people tell me they can't read through the Bible in a year, as easy as it is. Just a couple of chapters. Just a couple of chapters a day. Roughly, I've got roughly 70 to 80 verses. 15 minutes, there you go. Well, I just can't do it. I can't get through. I can't read this. I can't read that. Quit making provisions for the flesh. Amen. Amen. It's what we're doing. Mm-hmm. Amen. We got all kinds of excuses. All kinds of provisions that we make. And it's time that the church steps up and quits making provisions and steps up and says, I don't care. My wife seen this movie years ago and she's adopted this saying and I like it. It's good. Though none go with me. You seen the movie? Though none go with me. Amen. It's time, church, to step up and quit worrying about everybody else and everything else. Bible says, let every man work out his own salvation in fear and trembling. Amen. It's time to step up and quit making provisions. It's time to step up and say, I'm aware of what time it is. I'm aware of how brief the opportunity is. It's time to step up and realize that even if the Lord don't come, and if the Lord tarries is coming for another 1,000 years, which he very well might. I don't know. Amen. He very well might. I don't know. But I believe the day is at hand. But if he tarries his coming, remember mortality of the human race is 100%. 100%. You got children that may die before you. Jesse, we had a little granddaughter that didn't get to be as old as your little baby. She lived to be 33 days old. It's how precious time is. How precious. We know what time it is. We know how precious it is. Somebody was telling me, I forget who it was telling me, somebody just got saved. I can't remember, it was RJ or somebody else. Somebody just, or maybe Friday night up there. Somebody just got saved in a church. and they were 82 years old. Sister Kathy told me about a lady up at Abbey Manor, 104 years old. Her time, she was on borrowed time. Mm-hmm. Amen. But she heard. But it's time for us to quit making provisions. Mm-hmm. Quit making excuses. It's time for us to get up. It's time for us to dress up. It's time for us to clean up. And it's time for us to step up and show the world that Christ lives in us. Mm-hmm. Amen. So stand our feet tonight, heads bowed, eyes closed. I wonder if there's one here.